Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. We have the most special guest that we can have on the show. He's a fantastic mate of ours, the best coach ever in any sport. He started in Australia in the as coaching the Spectres. He went to the Magic. He went to the Titans. And then his greatest achievements, obviously, was when he was the Sydney Kings coach, the South Dragons. And then he went to China. And now, of course, he is flying high with the Illawarra Hawks. They've got their name back. Mate, Brian Gorgian, Gorge, it is so good to see you, mate. Lots of love. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, great to be aboard. And yeah, great to be back in Australia and enjoying it all.
Well, that's it. That's my first question for you, Brian. For us, you know, the last memory we have is South Dragons winning the championship and then Brian Gorgian's going to China. And there's this sort of grey area of the past 11 years of exactly how that happened and what you were doing over there. Can you just take us through how you ended up going to China and why you spent 11 years there?
Yeah, it was really the Dragon, the Boomers was a lot of energy and I had a tremendous passion and really enjoyed that process. And I feel like there's a process to becoming an international coach and it takes time. And I got, Australia gave me a great opportunity and I felt like I grew as an international coach. And when the Boomers finished and my time was up, no doubt, no problem there, but it did leave a void. And, you know, it was something I missed when it stopped. And then I got the opportunity to go back to Melbourne with the Dragons. And I'm at Albert Park where it all started, you know, in that area, just where, you know, my wife's working for the club. I'm by Albert Park Lake. I'm with two owners that, you know, we think alike. We're building something and we're on the same page. And we win the championship. And I'll never forget the phone call that, you know, it's done. And when that happened, after what went on with the Sydney, you know, I've lived through a few merges and the last one with the Magic and the Giants was a lot tougher than the Spectres and the Saints. It was a different, different merge. And it was tough. And then going to the Kings and dealing with the Tim Johnson situation and firepower was one for the ages. So I wasn't up for another kick like that. And I just thought, you know what? It's enough. And I felt like at that point in time, I was going to take a year off, go and see some friends in the States and just, you know, be around programs, go see Brett Brown, go see Mike Dunlap and learn and grow and take a year. And then I got a phone call from a friend that was with the Kings, a Chinese man that I knew that ran a company that said his boss wanted me to come down and work with his juniors for a couple weeks. So I said, you know, it was perfect timing. I went down there. I spent 2 weeks in Dongguan. And when I got done with the 2 weeks, I really, and I'm being truthful, I didn't really think, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, he said, hey, you can stay down here. You can help with the senior team. You can run the junior program. And I said, boss, I'll come down and visit you. But really, I'm not up for, you know, doing a season or spending the year in China. And he said, well, here's a contract. Have a look at it. If you're ever interested, you know, give me a call and you know, we'll keep this alive. So I took a shower, hopped in the back of there was a driver taking me to Hong Kong and I sat there and I'd worked hard for a week and I kind of leaned back and, you know, cracked the water in the back seat and opened up the contract and tapped the driver on the shoulder and said, turn the car around. I'm not leaving. and you know, when I went down there, I ended up, you know, the juniors were very talented. This guy was passionate about basketball, and I had a bunch of 7-footers, and he'd spent a bunch of money on bringing and building this new team. And, I helped with the head coach, and it was very apparent he wasn't up to it. And the boss said, go home, have a month, and come back as my head coach next year. So I know this is a story, but it tells the whole thing. Yeah. I came back.
That's brilliant.
And quite honestly, all the things that we deal with in Australia were gone. And I didn't realize what they, you know, every club, you know, how many people are there? Are the sponsors happy? You know, are we going to be able to secure the venue? Are we okay? You need to do more clinics, get the kids involved, get people to the games. You were always concerned, is the club okay? Is it going to survive? Yeah. And you go to China and you walk in there and it's like I'm from Victoria, all that, my background, and it's like you're coaching Collingwood with 1 billion people. And it's just, they don't care. You know, there's no, the gear's the best, the travel's the best, the support for the team, the TV package, all those problems are gone. And I didn't realize the toll that took on me until I started working in an environment where that didn't exist. But on the flip side, I missed a lot of things about the day-to-day, the level of basketball, speaking the same language, what you can do here, the talent, the competition is up on that. And so after 11 years in body, when I saw you in Singapore and played against Adelaide, about that time, the imports that were playing in China, all of them were, you know, and these are high level players, big, you know, $2 million a year, $1.5 million a year, all of them asking about Australia because they hear the competition's great, the living's great.
Yeah.
And what has gone on with the league and those issues that I talked about, and now I'm back in it, has certainly, even through the COVID, has certainly settled. And so when I got back here, I got knocked out of there during COVID and came in, and the games were, I'd never spent the amount of time I spent here. And I was watching the playoffs. I was watching the last of the regular season. I didn't get to do that before. And then I started working out some national team players during the COVID thing in Melbourne, and got energized about being involved in it again.
Mate, the Gorge, I heard you say you cracked the water out. I know it was red wine, but I appreciate you saying water anyway on the pod. So that's, but I got to ask a question. The number one thing, and I saw it firsthand, is the way you always got along so well with the owners, so well with the playing group, so well with everyone. People just don't see that. And you always used to say to me, like when, you know, I was coaching and I'd say, man, I'm really nervous, I'm really worried. And you always used to say that 80% of your coaching is done before you throw in the ball in the air. You've now got back to Illawarra. You've got an owner that you were very close with. You're so tight with these owners. What made you say yes to this? I know that you respect owners so much. What was that?
Well, I mean, I mean, the relationship with Dory was a big part of it. But also, there was a couple nibbles at times prior to come back. And I just, I mean, you get to the age that I'm at, you pick up the phone, you get opportunities, and you go, you know what? I don't have it in me. And I knew this league. I know this competition. I know what it takes. And the opportunities that came up, it wasn't the ownerships or the team or anything. It was just, that doesn't suit me. You know, I've been the front runner. I've been with the Melbourne situation where Melbourne's always going to be strong. You've always got talent. And now, you know, you're in the big city, win the championship. You know, I had that. It was the same scenario in Sydney. You know, the Adelaide, Cairns, Illawarra, different beast, different challenge. And I've never had an opportunity to pick all 12 players and start from nothing and be the little engine that could. That's how I look at, you know, like punch above your weight and build something and not have that albatross around your neck of, you know, we've won it 3 times. Now you come back. I mean, the Perth job isn't inviting and nor are they interested in me one bit. I'm not saying that, but I'm just giving you an example, you know, that kind of deal, the Adelaide, I think it's Body, you do it, I thought, better than anyone. And a lot of times it in my expense, I felt, you know, when we came down there, it was like, you know, I get it. Yeah. I'm down here trying to do the same thing you did in Adelaide at my time. I admired you for it, even though I wanted to wring your neck and you wanted to wring mine. That's what makes it great.
And Gorge, don't feel bad, mate. I've been wanting to wring his neck ever since we started the pod, so don't worry.
So I'm loving trying to, you know, it's a different, I've never been in a community like this since I was in America. So Melbourne and then Sydney, Dongguan, 75 million people in Dongguan, Guangzhou, Shenzhen, Macau, Hong Kong, that region. And then I went from there to Shanghai, which is 35, 40 million people. Now I'm in this small community where you know the guy at the local grilled place, you know, the guy at the mall, you know, and I'm really loving this challenge. And, going to Sydney is whether we are or not, it's all that matters is to me is how I see it. And I see it as we're the little guy coming up trying to knock down Goliath. And I got, you got the community behind you. We got some energy going. And I was energized by that challenge.
Yeah. Well, you've been fun to watch this season. I mean, last season, Cairns Taipans were fun to watch. And this season, Illawarra Hawks are fun to watch. And Brad and I have just been referring to them as Illawarra pretty much all year. We didn't buy any into any of that ugly nonsense. I'm watching at home and I get frustrated with your big guys. You know, there are times I think Bairstow or Froling or AJ should be putting shots away around the basket. You know, the game you lost to United, I thought there was just so many shots around the basket that were missed. Does that drive you crazy as someone who came from an era where big men used to score from 2 feet without any great issue?
You know what? You just see who AJ is. And I think there's been a lot of, he's not a guy. There's been a lot of pressure put on him. And the evaluation is right, I think, if you use him that way. He's not a guy like a Mark Davis or like a Mark Bradkey that you talk about Tony Ronaldson, where you get to give him space and roll the ball into him and have him make plays. But what he does do, Body, is he rim protects, and he's incredible for his size at defending on balls, and he can roll out of on balls and catch and finish. And Froling is 20 years old, and you're right. I mean, he had against Melbourne, he had 16 and 11, and I said, man, if you could have had 24 and 18, with him, he's 20. And sure. you also touched a really interesting where we are as a team, because there's pressure there too. Do you play from a lot of people? Are you doing the right thing by playing Froling and Ogilvy together, or do you put Justin in the kid that got the offensive rebound and the putback? You put him in the four, Adele in the three, Justinian in the two, and start playing Gnar and go small ball with one big, maybe Bairstow, and maybe and fence out one of those big guys. And that's how this thing evolves and where it goes, because a lot of teams are playing like that, and believe me, there's some energy towards going that direction, being put forward.
It's interesting you say about AJ. I'm a massive fan of AJ, and I've been lucky enough with commentary where I've watched a lot of him, and his on-ball defense is phenomenal. He, those first two steps, it actually reminds me a little bit, and I'm not putting him in that caliber, of Matty Nelson, though, on an on-ball. He just attacks the ball so hard, and then he reams and turns. Is it something you've worked hard with him, or it's just let it flow and let it get best out of him?
I haven't done... I'm not responsible for development yet for a guy like that. I can't take, you know, like what I've asked is I've asked those guys initially when I came in, I want to come and be aggressive. We're not going to play, you know, like a Bogut situation where you drop. I want to come after it. These guards in this league can shoot. It's small ball. You got to come out. You got to show. And I want to teach rotation. And then we'll evolve. It's easy to back off. So I put it out there, and I thought there was no chance, you know, just in what I thought coming in. And I said, hey, man, I want it out. I want you to stop the ball at the line. And I go, God damn, he can move his feet. He can move.
Yeah.
And so, again, body, and, you know, as you bring this stuff up, I think as we get older and as I'm learning, you know, you come in, you go, there's certain guys, your development. You know, I got this Max Dowling. I got this AK Gak. I've got Nar. I've got Isaac White. I got a lot of young guys I got to develop. And then you got guys that this is who they're there. Then you get them in shape. And now you got to find how to use them.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, it's brilliant.
Involved in that. Is it, you know, okay, it's my responsibility. This kid's in shape. He's big. He's played at Vanderbilt. He was a part of a national team. He's got something. And he's he's our captain. I found him I did nothing. I did everything I could to let him walk away. I didn't give him the time of day when I was putting this team together, and he just worked out and worked out and worked out. And I looked and I go, there's something here. I like it. I can use it. And I'm being honest. I'm really pleased with how it's evolved with him over the course of this year. So, you know, of where we are now and what he's bringing to us, you know, on and off the court.
That first time I saw him dive on a loose ball, I knew that was your impact on that man, because I don't think in the preceding decade I'd seen him get his knees dirty. Every other part of himself he
worked. Actually, that's not true. Body thought he slipped, Gorge. He said he slipped.
Well, it's probably a decal, Jesus.
Funny how certain guys, you know, I remember, and I'm just being, you know, we go back in history, buddy, you think back. I mean, I had Shane Frawling, and he was phenomenal for me. He went and played for Bruce Palmer, who's my closest friend, and they really struggled. It just didn't work. And then, I mean, just during it wasn't a good match. I got more out of that. And then he had David Graham. And he was wonderful for David. And then, you know, Darren Perry went down with that Achilles, and Ninnis went back to Adelaide, and David came to the Magic, and he and I didn't work. Absolute and very, very good player, tremendous player for Bruce. For me, it didn't work. So, you know, as you get older and you get in this thing, and like I said, you get certain guys and you go, well, it's my job now. If I'm going to, how do I make this work? And I just feel like he's soft. He doesn't do any, I don't know him as far as I'm coming here. He's starting afresh. He's starting new. And I'm just, haven't said dive on balls or have to kick him in the ass about anything. He's just been like that. And everybody, the Cans game, the second game, he got his nose broken and four stitches underneath his eye, and he's done, you know, and I've moved on. And I had Cam Bairstow out for that one, and I'm going, man, we are thin. And about 3 minutes later, they tap me and goes, you've got this, his nose plugged up with stuff and the thing over his eye. And he goes, I'm in. get me
That's
in.
That's great.
And that I is go, sensational. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, really, really pleased for him.
Yeah, that's Gorge, talk to me about the bubble. You guys are on the way to Melbourne, obviously scary time. When I say scary, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? The crowds are stopped at the tennis centre. Are you going to Melbourne? Do we know what's going on? I mean, all accounts, it's going ahead. I'm really looking forward to watching all these games, double headers and everything. How are you feeling about it?
I was excited. I have everything's on hold right now. I heard it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be the same timing. I don't know what's coming this weekend. I think they're going through that now. But as far as, I was just, to be honest with you, I was just hoping that there would be fans there and that you could live. I've found it. We were in Aubrey Wodonga for 2 weeks. We were in Cairns for 2 weeks. We trained, we practiced with no problems. But where I find it hard personally is those protocols, those 3-day protocols where you're bunkered down and you can only go out for an hour and you can't, I can't go work out. I struggle with that. And yeah. I was hoping I'm going back to my home city. And again, I haven't spent any time there in 12 years, really. And I got a lot of friends there, a lot of people that I'm excited to put the team in front of. I'm excited to, be coaching and see people at the game and then go out and have a meal afterwards and catch up with all those old, the Anstey's, the Jason Smiths, the Mark Wrights, the people that you're friends with, Peter Hardcore. There's so many people in the community I want to connect with again. And in a basketball hub where all the teams are there, and share. And,
yeah, it's scary, Gorge. It's
yeah,
scary.
What's
it's you know
now is like it seems like it's going to be like to the hotel, to the court, back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's you do what you do, but that would not be as fun.
I know you're friendly with Corey Webster. Did you see his tweet this week where he said it's reaching new levels of mental health survival tactics as each day on the road, lives in hotels without family and normal life. Did you see that? Like, that's a worry, Gorge.
Yeah, it was interesting. We were in the same hotel that they played Sydney and we came in. And we played Sydney and they were still at the hotel. And I just picked up that they were still going to be there till Thursday. And I just what you guys are saying there. I mean, we left on Boxing Day and didn't get back home for a long time, but we haven't been living like they've been living it. It's definitely affecting performance because that's a very talented team with a very, very good coach. And for their record to be what it is and from them to be there, I'm sure there's some concerns there.
Well, we want to finish on a little bit of a high, Brian. So we're going to just throw some names at you and just get your like a one sentence response to. So we'll start off with the old guy, Lindsay Gaze.
Best coach I ever played for. Great human being and somebody I really admire.
Got to throw another one at you, mate. Rob Rose.
Absolute winner.
Okay, that's good. David Stiff.
A winner and an interesting personality.
I love that one. My all-time favorite, D-Mac.
Great human being.
Okay, I got a good one for you. Brad Rosen.
Oh, man, what do I say about Brad?
The truth.
your illegitimate son, the way he carries on, jeez.
Like his son.
There you go.
He's a good man. Maddie Nielsen.
Great player, great person. Really excited to have him by my side with the Boomers. I mean, a big part of the reason why I'm doing the job. I'm just so excited to be together through this. He's one of my favorite players of all time, favorite people of all time.
Yeah, that's a great.
Just a quick one on that. What's your gut feeling about the Tokyo Olympics? Like, you know, like I still waver. I'm not even sure it's going to happen because of the state of the world. If you were giving it on a percentage basis, like you think it's 50-50 chance it's going to go ahead, or 80-20, where do you sit? Because, I mean, you've got to prepare a team.
I've really tried to hop in a mindset we have that it's going to happen.
Right.
And and we're working hard at it, obviously, behind the scenes. And I've had numerous conversations with BA, and you know, it's full steam ahead. And
right.
I think as a coach, I mean, getting into this box, it's going to be one of the most challenging jobs I've ever taken on. Just, you know, that maybe a 8 or 9 practice sessions and going in there and trying to get the gold medal is a real an exciting one, but a real challenge. You've always had time, you know, a bit.
Yeah.
You always think it's not enough, but this is going to be how you put this thing together, how you run a practice, what you run, and how you defend and what the schemes are with it. And it's going to be a new group, because if Simmons and Matisse and guys like that are involved, it changes the dynamics of the team. You're not just building on what they've done, which they've done tremendously, but now it's going to take a different twist.
Gorge, we could sit here all day and talk, mate, but you're a very busy man, and I promised Amanda I wouldn't keep you on the phone all afternoon. Yeah. Mate,
I got to finish one with Body.
Body,
a finisher, one I'll never forget. It's when they say, we talk about the Melbourne Tigers Magic rivalry as an all-timer, but right there for me was Phil Smythe, you, the Adelaide 36ers. That had everything, did it not?
Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I revel in that era, and I thought it was a great era for the game. The teams were fun to watch.
I hired a guy to get by my side so we could combat you. Was
AJ?
AJ. But I got to say, one time, through all of it, one time I walked in there and we arrive and we're coming in. I can't remember. I think it was a playoff series, but I may be wrong. But I know we came in, and I'm sure it was. But we came in, and I get in there, and I'm always toey, and we're waiting to pick our bags up. And the manager comes up, and he goes, "Have you seen this?" And I go, I go, "What? You know, what are you talking about?" And he goes, I can't believe, you know, like, have a look at this. And he hands me the paper.
It's got
a big picture of my face with my finger. And the headline is Gorgon Preaches Hatred. And I go, this son of a bitch is taking it to a new level. And you owe me, because that 3 days or 4 days, I think we won. That was when
Priest
took me out at halftime.
This was Paul Maley was playing, because Paul Maley had given
Paul,
me the quote.
Was Paul on the same team as Reese?
I think they were. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I knew Paul Maley was the one that gave you the insight to what went on there. But I was in lockdown. There, I couldn't leave. I said to the security guard down there when I went out, when I get out of the van, he's waiting for me, and I go, and he's got it's like a bowling shirt with his name on it, and I go to him, what is it? And he goes, you need private security. And I go, is it that bad? And he goes, yeah. So this is,
it wasn't really.
So I sat in the change room and I look at him and I go, when I come out of the stadium, this is how a finish here, but I go, when I come out, they're going to go nuts. You got anything for me? And we're sitting in there and he says, hey, wait, and I'll give you the signal. When they strike up for the national anthem, come walking out there, they won't know whether to shit or wind their watch. So when they struck up, I waited in that tunnel. And when they started with it, I came walking out of there and that Reese took me out. And after the game was over, they said, Brian, this is honest, Spy. They said, just stay in your room.
No,
I did not come out of there. Man, I wanted a PCU.
No, seriously, it was never that bad. It really wasn't. You know, it was never that bad. But it seemed like it. I certainly created that. Was happy to create that atmosphere, and it made for sellout crowds all the time. We had a villain. You're a villain. Shane Hill was a villain. There were villains that you could build around, and it would guarantee us full stadium.
Yeah, coaches, Brian Curl, Ken Cole, Cal Bruton, Bruce Palmer, that, you know, and again, down here, I think it's a really important, what's the sense of having a team and no one knows you're playing?
Yeah.
You
want passion.
Get it going like you had it.
Yeah, Bonnie's fine, mate. He just walked around Adelaide, got a feed. You're locked down into a one-by-one room, mate. That's great, Bonnie. It's really nice of you, mate. No problems.
Look, I'm going to get him back. I still got it in me. I'm coming down there. We'll get it going.
Okay. I was just going to say, if you were in lockdown and you couldn't eat, I would have shoved a pizza under the door for you.
Yeah, with cyanide, so you couldn't coach that night. Gorge, thank you, mate. You are an absolute legend. Much love. Enjoy the bubble. Thank you so much. It is fantastic to have you back. You are one in a million, mate. We love you. Thank you so much.
Take care, you guys. Thanks.
Oh, Boddy, that man is unbelievable. Yep. We can't thank Gorge enough. I also want to thank Amanda, his wife. Amanda and I are extremely close. We talk all the time. We've been talking ever since we were at the Kings, and she organised that interview. I do want to let all our listeners know as well that it's Monday night when we did this interview with Gorge's travel and you know, playing the Kings and now going to Melbourne. We don't know what's going to happen with the bubble and everything. So it is Monday night. So I just want to let everyone know that's where we've called it. So we actually won't be able to even talk about tonight's game with Brisbane and Adelaide in Adelaide. But I have got some massive news.
Yes, break it. Let us know.
Ryan Brockhoff signs with the South East Melbourne Magic. Now, that's not a shock. There's been a lot of talk about
it. It is a shock because the Magic is 20 years in the past.
Oh, my God, South East Melbourne Phoenix.
It's a shock, ladies and gentlemen. They've resurrected the Magic.
Gorge is back. No, mate, that is just magic. Boom, boom. Mate, that is massive news for the Phoenix. Yes. There was a lot of talk. That takes them to another level.
Yeah, but there has been talk. You know, it's not as big a shock as you think, because I think Ryan and his family wanted to stay clear of COVID zones, and the best thing to do is come back to Australia. And that had been muted before that was a possibility that it would happen. So it's fantastic. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Ben, you now, hey, talk to me about the Big Show.
Well, it's a big show.
Yes, there it is. We've got the NBL Cup starting up this week, but we're not completely sure about whether all the fixtures are going to stay as they are or whether you'll be able to attend people in Victoria, whether you'll be able to attend the matches. How good was South East Melbourne Phoenix against Perth at the weekend without a crowd? They didn't need a crowd to reverse a 31-point loss from a couple of nights before.
Yeah.
In that emphatic fashion was pretty thrilling. I'm glad I tipped him at the website.
Yeah, let me just take that knife out of my back that I got there. So thank you for that.
It does fit nicely.
Yeah. It's got a lot of them, and all the knives have got Boddy written on them. But I thought it was a great round. I do want to talk very quickly about this bubble or the Big Show. I love the format. Just very quickly for our listeners. assuming it goes ahead the way it was,
yes.
Is it 34 games or 36?
36
bodies?
It was.
Right, 36 games. There is 18 doubleheaders. So if the crowds are there, you can actually get 2-for-1 where you go watch one, you know, pay for one and get 2 games. Every quarter is worth 1 point. So if you win a quarter, you get a point. If you win the game, you get 3. So, and then at the end, whoever's got the most points, there's no final as a sense. Whoever's got the most points gets the win. They get 150,000, second 100 and third 50. But every game also counts for the regular season. And then after the bubble, then they have their home and away round. So I think it's a fantastic format. Please God, it goes ahead, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed, you know. And it, here's my nudge nasty. Let's just throw that in while we've got time, which we don't really. But it is always the fact that they walk the ball for the last few seconds of a game. You know, they just dribble the ball out. I hate seeing that.
Hate it. Hate it. Score.
But in this, exactly. In this format, you can't do that because you're gonna you may be level with the other team on your quarter score. You might have lost the game, but you might have 18 points. They might have 18 points. You're not going to dribble down the clock in the last 10 seconds. You're going to try and score. And that's what we want to see. We want to see people playing basketball for 40 minutes. I've never subscribed to that BS that, you know, you're disrespecting your opponent by playing the full 40 minutes. Are you kidding me? You're disrespecting the fans by not playing the full 40 minutes. You got a Rosen Rattler, or are we wrapping it up?
No, I'm going to quickly, a Rosen Rattler, I'm just going to throw it out there that you mentioned about the decals about 19 weeks ago, mate, and it's all coming out now, but this is something you mentioned. So I just want you to get the kudos that you deserve because, you know, you really don't get what you deserve. I mean,
nobody does.
Paul's just tried to give you some of it, but I just wanted to point that out.
It's been waiting a long time to say that. I got to say, though, this is one quick thing from the last round.
Yep.
That lob in the Phoenix Perth game, the lob
Kiefer
Sykes. That's up there in among the dunks of the year.
My one that I do love is I want to give Adelaide 36ers Connor Henry credit for the way he changed his defense up and kept Brisbane to 70. He did a good job.
He
changed up. He changed. Vic Law, you didn't see him in that game. And they, you know, doubled down him and they did what they had to do. Sobey did Sobey things. But I just thought credit where credit's due. He changed his game plan and I thought he did a really, really good job.
It's amazing what you can do with a small jar of strepsils. Your throat starts to feel better. Your players can understand what you're saying.
You over-dribbled. You over-dribbled.
And on that note, we've over-dribbled. Let's go. We'll talk to you during the week. We've got Grantley Bernard coming up during the week. That'll be another pod. He's the co-author of the Lindsay Gaze book. So look out for that one, listeners, because you'll probably enjoy it.
And make sure you check out Boddy's website, BOTINAGY. The man, the myth, the legend. But also, thank you so much to Brian Gorshin. He is the man. God, I love that man. All right, everyone, have a great week. Please, God, we're playing plenty of basketball. Congratulations to Phoenix on a great signing. Boddy, you're the man. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.